Pastor John Randall encouraging us to seek the Lord for wisdom in our daily walk.
Maybe you came in here tonight and you are displeased with something that's going on in your life. What are you supposed to do? You pray. And then you wait. You ask the Lord, Lord, show me what to do from here. I've come to this point. I'm not sure what the next step is. And there are some things that I find very displeasing. What do you want me to do?
Great to be with you. This is A Daily Walk, and we'll be joined by Pastor John Randall in a moment. We're picking up where we left off in 1 Samuel, which happens to be chapter 8. At this point in time, the people of Israel are demanding a king. They were no longer willing to allow the Lord to lead them, but rather wanted what they want instead. Going against God's will like this is never a good idea, and we'll see where it leads. It serves as a good reminder of what can happen when we go against God's plan for our lives.
With that said, if you have your Bibles, if you'd open up with me now to the book of 1 Samuel as we continue our study through the Old Testament here. Brand new study, only a couple weeks in, 1 Samuel. And I want to draw your attention beginning tonight in verse 15 of chapter 7. And it says, "And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, to Gilgal, to Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord." Samuel was called at an early age to serve the Lord. He was the first of the prophets in Israel, and he was the last of the judges. During his tenure as judge, he would travel and he would oversee the affairs of the people. He would go in a circuit, as was mentioned here, to some of the major cities. And then when he returned home, it says that he had an altar there. I like that. There in his home, there was an altar, a place of sacrifice, a place of worship there in Ramah, a place dedicated to the Lord. But between chapter 7 and chapter 8, there is an estimated time of 25 years that have passed. Samuel has now gone up in years. Some estimate he's into his mid to late 60s, and things were beginning to change. And the people no longer wanted a judge to reign over them. Instead, they wanted a king. And so they came to Samuel and they began to ask him for a king. And it says here, if you look beginning at verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, "Now it came to pass when Samuel was old and he made his sons judge over Israel." It says that the name of his firstborn was Joel, and his second was Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba. However, notice what it says next. It says concerning his sons that they did not walk in the ways of the Lord, or his ways rather, and they turned aside after dishonest gain. They took bribes and they perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and they came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "Look, you're old and your sons don't walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Samuel had devoted his life to serving the nation, but now that he had grown old, he sought to have his sons assist him in overseeing and judging the people. But unfortunately, his sons did not follow in his footsteps. It says here that they were actually dishonest judges. You may recall in our study in the book of Deuteronomy that Moses had actually warned the people concerning this very thing. It was in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19, that Moses declared, "You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take any bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Samuel's sons did not walk in his ways. They took bribes and they would be paid off and it would change the judgments that they would pass. They were perverted in their justice. Therefore, with an aging judge and dishonest successors, it only added to the open and shut case that the people wanted a king. And so they make here an emphatic demand. They say, now, not later, now, make us a king to judge like other nations. This was the demand of the people. But following the demand of the people, there was the displeasure of the prophet. Look at verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you. They have not rejected you, but they've rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me, served other gods, so they're doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. When Samuel received the request of the people, he was, as it said, displeased. However, in his displeasure, he made the right decision in that he sought the Lord through prayer. This was a difficult thing for Samuel to face, but rather than get frustrated or agitated, it says immediately he turned to the Lord and he began to pray. He's seeking the Lord for wisdom and for revelation. Maybe you came in here tonight and you are displeased with something that's going on in your life. What are you supposed to do? You pray and then you wait. You ask the Lord, Lord, show me what to do from here. I've come to this point. I'm not sure what the next step is. And there are some things that I find very displeasing. What do you want me to do? And he waited for an answer. And the Bible tells us that the Lord gave Samuel an answer. And I believe that he received an answer that he did not expect to receive. Because when the Lord responded to him, the Lord said to him, give the people what they want. Whoa, wait a second, God. You know I'm displeased, right? And I'm a judge. And he didn't expect to receive this answer from the Lord. And yet the Lord told Samuel, the people want what they want. They're not going to listen to you. They're not rejecting you. Don't take it personally. They're actually rejecting me. So go ahead, give them what they desire. This was not the first time that the Lord had done this in Israel's history. Do you recall when the nation of Israel was wandering in the wilderness and they grew weary of manna, sick of it, tired of eating manna? We don't want manna anymore. We want flesh. We want meat. And so they began to cry out to the Lord and demand that he bring them meat. And you remember the Lord brought them quail. And they saw the quail and they gathered it and they started eating it. And you remember it says that the Lord gave them so much meat, so much flesh, that it was coming out their nose. I mean, it was a terrible thing. This is what they demanded. This is what they wanted. God says, is that what you want? Then I'm going to give you all the flesh you want. You want to pursue the flesh? Is that really what you desire? Well, you can have it. Here it is. But here's the sad thing, guys. The Bible tells us in a commentary concerning what happened in the wilderness, it says this in Psalm 106, verse 15. Listen to these words. It says, he gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their soul. He gave them what they wanted. They were determined. This is what we want. We don't want God. Forget what you have. We want what we want. God said, okay. He gave them what they wanted, but he sent leanness into their soul. There are times when we may make demands of the Lord. And we may, you know, it's where we should be praying. When we pray, Lord, let your will be done. We're praying, Lord, let my will be done. And we demand it. And sometimes God will, if you want to pursue it, if you want to go after the flesh, if you really, I mean, it could be the worst thing for you, but the Lord's not going to force you to do his will. And you can determine to go your own way, and people do it all the time. But there's a leanness that comes into their soul and into their relationship with the Lord. As Samuel was so discouraged by this, the Lord told his prophet, listen, don't take it personal. They're not actually rejecting you. They're actually rejecting me. Sometimes we can take it personal. You share with somebody the gospel, they don't accept it, or they don't want to hear from you. They don't want to talk to you. They reject you. But the truth is, they're not rejecting you. They're actually rejecting the Lord. So don't take it personal, but pray for them. Regardless of the protest of the prophet, the people were determined to have a king. So the Lord informed them, if that's what you want, he said, Samuel, I want you to tell them what's going to happen when they get this king that they're desiring. They want a king like the rest of the nations? Forewarn them what's going to happen. And so the Lord gives them insight into the demands of the coming king. It says here, so Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked for a king. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. Now, I want you to notice something as we read this. See if you can notice one particular word that is repeated over and over. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands, captains over his fifties. He will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest and to make his weapons of war and equipment for chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, your donkeys, put them to his work. And he will take a tenth of your sheep and you will be his servants. Another translation says slaves. And you will cry out in that day, because your king whom you've chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. It's almost like the Lord gives his people another chance. If this is really what you want, then I want you to know what you're in for. I'm gonna warn you in advance. This is what you can expect to find. And you'll see a word repeated some 5-6 times, the word take. This leader wasn't going to give to the people, he was going to take from them. And not only would he take from them, but he would make them become his slaves. He would demand to be sovereign over the people and demand their complete and total allegiance. And Samuel tells the people that many of their freedoms that they had would be taken away. Many of their choice men would have enlisted in the service of the king. Their daughters are going to be taken from them. Their land that they had been given, that's going to be taken from them. And you would assume, wouldn't you, after all of these warnings, if you know that all of these things you're going to have to sacrifice just so you can have what it is that you want, that they would change their minds. But these people were so stubborn that they would not relent. After the warnings of the prophet, the people were still intent upon having a king. They were unwilling to let the Lord lead them and reign over them. They would have precious, valuable things sacrificed, taken from them, and become slaves because they wanted what they want. It's amazing how when you really want to just go for it, when you just want to go against God's will, you can be blinded. No one can talk to you. They can't reason with you. You're unreasonable. You're not reasoning in the spirit. You're reasoning in the flesh. You are irrational. You're not listening. You could see chapter and verse and say, listen, don't judge me. I mean, you can walk right through every blockade, every person that stands in the way saying, stop. From pastors to husbands, wives, friends, brothers, sisters, you don't care who it is. People who have invested in your life, loved on you, prayed for you, sat there with you, and you could just walk right through it and everything's taken. And you can even forewarn people, listen, if you go that way, this is what's going to happen. Do you realize that? And it's just, I don't care. And they do it, and guess what happens? They become a slave. How many people do you know today who are slaves to sin? They have rejected every warning. Listen, a lot of us here tonight, we could say, yeah, that was me. I was a slave of sin. So you know what that looks like. People warned you. People warned me. And we walked right through it. Every stop sign, every brick wall, we ran into it repeatedly and did not listen. And we suffered the consequences of it. And things that were precious were sacrificed, taken. Praise God. He is a God that restores and restores what's been taken. Have you experienced that, friend? You repent and he receives you and then he restores you. How great and gracious is our God. But these people were intent on doing what they wanted to do. And precious things were taken from them. This principle applies to sin. We can run past the warnings of God, demand what we want above what God wants, even when warned of the consequences, and then in the process, sin makes us its slave. You know, I'm learning as I walk with the Lord to pray with intention that says, God, if this is not you, then please don't do it in my life. Lord, let put your desires in my heart. My desires can be carnal. My desires can be for the flesh. Lord, let me know what your heart is. Lord, let me delight myself in you. Lord, let me know what it is that you want for me, and let me walk in that. And so they were determined. It says in verse 19, nevertheless, even after all of the warnings of God, nevertheless, notice this, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. You can't really do something with someone who refuses to listen. You step back and you pray. There's not much else you can do at that point. And they said, no, we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Up to this point, the Lord had fought their battles, and he'd done a pretty good job. But they were done with that. Samuel heard all the words of the people. He repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice, make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. So the request was given to the prophet. The prophet spoke to the Lord. The Lord spoke to the prophet. He spoke to the people and vice versa. Now they're preparing for a king. And that brings us to chapter 9 as we find out about Israel's first king. It says here in verse 9, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphia, a Benjamite. He was a mighty man of power, and he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the other people. Here we get a little bit of insight, a backstory into this first king of Israel, whose name was Saul. We find out that he was from the tribe of Benjamin, one of the smallest tribes. Benjamin, you remember, was the brother of Joseph, Jacob, and Rachel's two sons. Benjamin was the last son of that relationship, the brother of Joseph, and this was his tribe. It also speaks that he came from a solid family. It says that his father was a mighty man. It also tells us concerning Saul that he was naturally endowed. It says he was choice. He was handsome. In fact, it says he was more handsome than anybody else. This guy was taller than anybody else. In other words, he looked like a leader. You looked at the guy, you're like, man, that guy should lead us. He looks like he could lead. He looks like a leader. That's what everybody thought. That's what everybody could see. He stood out from the rest. That's really what it emphasizes here. But then it says something happened, something interesting. It says in verse 3, now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise and go look for the donkeys. So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the lands of Shalisha, but they didn't find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they weren't there. Then he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they didn't find them. So here, he's sent on an errand by his father. I mean, donkeys were important in those days. His father sends him on this errand to go look, and so he's obedient to his dad. He starts going and searching for these donkeys, seeking to retrieve them. But everywhere he went, he couldn't find them. He went one place, they weren't there. Went another place, they weren't there. He couldn't find them. And after this long period of time searching for these donkeys, I want you to see the first words of King Saul. Look at what it says here. In verse 5, when they had come to the land of Ziph, this is the first words of Saul. Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us." I want you to remember that. This is how Saul started out. He was humble. He had a good relationship with his family. He was obedient. He was a servant. And he realized, listen, we need to get home. My dad's going to be worried about us. And I don't want my dad to worry. So let's just forget the donkeys. We'll come back out. We'll circle back, whatever. Let's just go home to my dad. And so they were just about ready to end the search. They were just about ready to give up. But here's something Saul didn't know. He didn't know that this errand that he was on was actually part of the providential leading of God. He didn't know that. In his mind, he's just out searching for some lost donkeys. But the Lord was working behind the scenes to providentially lead him right to where he was supposed to go. But he did not know that yet. He's just going through the motions, trying to be faithful in what he was asked to do. He wasn't expecting anything that day life-changing on the road that he was traveling. But God was working behind the scenes. How many of you know that you could just get up like you do every single day and then something happens you didn't expect and you know that was God? I didn't plan that. That was life-changing. That whole experience was not something I was looking for, but God led me into it. And you just think, I'm just going to work. I'm just doing my thing. I'm just doing what I do every day. And yet God supernaturally, I don't know how he does it, but it's awesome when he does it, leads us and we get there and think, wow, that was the Lord. The timing of it all. How did that time with that? I mean, it was in sync perfectly. You couldn't have put that on your agenda and actually made that happen. That was something that only God could do. He was sovereignly working. And the Lord works in ways, guys, I want you to understand this tonight, and I've experienced this, and I know that so many of you have as well. God works in ways that we don't always discern. We don't always see it. We're under the impression from our wandering around, certainly God couldn't be in this. This is a waste of time. This is a waste of effort. Let's just forget it. Let's just go back home. Let's just quit. Maybe you felt like that as a Christian. What's the point? Why am I even doing this ministry? Why am I even involved in this? Yet unbeknownst to you, you come to realize that God was working the whole time. And he brings you to this point where you can actually hear from him, where you can actually get direction. We have no idea how God will use the seemingly normal, may I say, annoying circumstances of life to get us right where he wants to go.
We'll pause our study of God's Word right here and get back to it next time. This is A Daily Walk, and Pastor John Randall is our Bible teacher. You can get the CD that contains today's message for a cost of just $5. Either go to adailywalk.org or call 888-253-1280. By the way, our recent programs are accessible through the website at adailywalk.org. And you can hear Pastor John's messages shortly after they're delivered by getting our church app. It's free. Just type in CCSJC to download our app and start listening to weekly teachings from Pastor John. You're familiar with Pastor John Randall's teaching ministry here on A Daily Walk, but maybe you didn't realize the Lord has also gifted him musically. And not long ago, he went in a studio to record a 5-song worship EP called Joy.
You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul.
The joy of the Lord is the gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit.
I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
You can order the Joy EP on CD through our website for just $5 at adailywalk.org or call 888-253-1280. That's adailywalk.org or 888-253-1280. And anything given above that amount will serve to help us continue the ministry of A Daily Walk on this station and others like it. We hope and pray the Lord is exalted and you're encouraged as you sing along and worship with Pastor John Randall. And please email Pastor John and the team with any questions, prayer requests, or comments. We want to hear from you. Our email address is adailywalk@gmail.com. We'd love to have you connect with us through social media. You can follow Pastor John on Instagram at John P. Randall and on Twitter at PJRandall7. We'll continue our study of God's Word next time on A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. And may God richly bless you and strengthen you in your daily walk.